You're listening to the Lowdown Podcast in association with Time 107.5, the Orient fans show for everyone.
Welcome to this edition of the Lowdown Podcast in association with Time 107.5 and GI Fleet, the East End sponsors. We ask for stability in the team, and the last two games the team has played a settled side. Players in their right positions, a system that seemed comfortable, and with 6 points from six, surely now the fans must be happy with the progress. I can tell you now, Twitter has certainly gone quiet. We witnessed the demolition of Harrogate and sat through a tough, dogged performance against Bradford. The DJ continues his formidable form with a hat-trick against Harrogate, and our man JMD comes off the bench and whips in a perfect free kick to help secure the win against Bradford. Question, are we the new Pride of Yorkshire? Unfortunately, Julian, the man that normally pulls the strings every week, has had to swerve tonight's show. However, it's been left to me, Darren, Brendan, the knowledge, and our own double hairy friend, Dal, to keep the show motoring along in our unique and questionably professional style. As we ask every week, gentlemen, how you been?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, Darren. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all. And Dal?
Yeah, all good. If you'd have caught me about half an hour ago, I had an Alice band in and it looked magnificent, but I took it out for the record. I didn't want you laughing at me.
No comment, mate. Absolutely no comment. Well, I've got to say, what a week. They say a week's a long time in football, but excuse the pun here, I'm kind of damn happy. You know, up to eight for point of the playoff. I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of getting a little bit, whoa, hold up, no bleeds.
It's interesting, isn't it, that when we had the guy from, who was it, Bradford we had on? When he was saying you can start a week down the bottom and finish the week just off the playoffs. Yeah. And it's what's happened to us now. And it's, you know, it's amazing to kind of see the transformation within, you know, the belief in the fans. And as we say, you know, Twitter's definitely gone quieter as a result.
Absolutely. So just to a kind of quick recap, what were your thoughts on the Harrogate game?
I mean, Harrogate was a professional performance. It was good. It was a good performance. I think Harrogate probably didn't play as well as they could have. I saw them a bit on the telly against Bradford a couple of weeks ago and they looked quite good. They looked a lot better than they were on Saturday. Don't know how much of that was us looking good and nullifying what they were doing, but they just seemed to be lacking something. I think their manager was quarantined for that game. He wasn't there, so that might have made a difference. But we executed, we had a game plan. It was clear we were going to let them fly forward and try and catch them on the counter, and it worked perfectly. And I think that really, that kind of game plan suits Danny Johnson so much, because he just plays on that last defender, and we saw there obviously with the three goals. Darren, what do you think of it, Darren? Do you watch on the stream?
I did. I actually watched it. I mean, a hat trick from Danny Johnson was good, and it was mad, wasn't it? Because the first one, you know, he basically just, you know, great ball over the top by Wilkinson that sort of sent him clear, and he had that low drive into the corner. The second one was, I don't know if you saw it on the actual Orient, the TV, the show that the Orient did. The ball just dipped and swerved and just went everywhere. I'm gonna let Dal comment though. On the Brophy miss,
yeah, it was an interesting one, wasn't it?
Well, that would have gone out of the way early doors, wouldn't it? That would have taken it.
Yeah,
you know, but yeah, it was. How did he miss?
I kept up the old tradition of when we're actually at the stadium, which I know we'll talk about later. When we're actually at the stadium, my sister always misses a goal because it's just before half time and she's gone down to get the beers in. So I went downstairs to get some beers in, and by the time I'd come back, all I heard was shouting upstairs, and Danny Johnson had scored an absolute worldie. I was like, this is ridiculous.
And the final, I mean, the header at the back post, I have no idea where the Harrogate defence was. I mean, it was a corner. Normally, the penalty in the six-yard box are packed out. He was on his own.
I mean, the one thing I noted from that goal was, I think we spoke about before on this podcast, I think Danny Sender has been doing a lot of work with set pieces, and don't know how much he had to do with kind of the keeper almost throwing it in his own net. But after the goal, you saw pretty much Ross and Danny Sender properly hug and embrace, and it was clear kind of Ross was trying to make it clear that was Danny Sender's work. He'd been working on the set piece, and finally one of them was paid off, and it was great to see. And I think the thing I saw on yesterday, I don't know about you guys, but if you play FIFA, you play the football games, if you play Ultimate Team, you get, if you do well, if a player does well in real life, they get a special card and they get an inform. Now, Orient have only ever had one inform before, and it was Josh Cromer against when he scored a hat trick against Newport in that relegation season. Danny Johnson is only the second ever Orient player to get an inform on FIFA. So that was something to note.
And also, we welcome back Sam Ling into the back four. I know he's been getting a certain amount of stick from certain fans over the last sort of couple of weeks or so. But I thought he fitted in quite well into the back four. And, you know, if you think that he played against Bradford and the Harrogate team, that was 2 wins, 6 points, clean sheets. How do you think he adapted it back into the back four?
I think that if you look at that, I think when you're looking at the back four, I think that it's the person in front of the back four that's made the difference. Cisse's come back in and he's looking good. You know, we're unbeatable. If he's there and sitting there, we've got no problems. He can even keep a clean sheet with Josh Coulson at the back. No, I'm joking.
And so, like you said, we've seen Sam Ling play. Saw Joe Widdowson come back into the side. We've looked kind of better as a defensive unit with those two defensive fullbacks. Do you think that 3 week that Ross had on the training ground after the Colchester, do you think that's made a difference, Darren?
Yeah, actually, I do. I know we mentioned it last week about the fact that it was playing Saturday, Tuesday, and they'd never had a chance to get their ideas across. But you can see, like you just said, praise to sender. That could be a song, couldn't it? you've got to praise Danny Sender and the team because they've obviously carried out the instructions well, and we look dangerous. And, you know, I know we're going to move on to the Bradford game in a second, but it was a set piece that won it at Bradford as well. So they've obviously had time to practice and execute in the actual game.
Yeah, we might as well move on to that Bradford game. It wasn't vintage, fair to say, Dale.
No, but I think the thing is, I don't think it was ever in doubt, was it? I think that was the nice part. I think that, you know, there were a few times where they got a little bit of space behind us on the wings, but apart from that, it was, you could see that it was one goal that was going to nick it, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was always going to be something special or a decent cross, whether it was them or us, to be fair, because, I mean, the first half was pretty turgid. I don't think it's going to be any, you know, but it's a game like that that historically we've lost or we've come away with nothing or managed to, you know, scrape. Because I personally think that Bradford came for the draw. I think they set up really deep. And if they'd have scored first, we would have been chasing the game. And, would we have broken through? But as you say, a great cross from our man, JMD, and we get the result.
Yeah, like you said there, Stuart McCall has come under a lot of pressure. They're not doing too well. They dropped down to 20th of that loss. And being there and kind of seeing him and his coaching staff, I think it was quite evident that they were happy. They were going to sit in. They were going to be physical. They were going to just drop deep and play for the 0-0. And they basically said to Ross, you're going to have to break us down. Now, the thing is that you'd think kind of, a team like Man City or Liverpool, that's what they're used to all the time. A team like Orient in League Two, they're not used to having that much time in the ball, that much kind of trying to be patient and wait for opportunities. We're kind of a counter-attacking side. And that's where I kind of think it was such a good performance because we kept our heads, we kept the ball, we waited for the right opportunity. And I think the goal came around the 60th minute mark. I think we would have kept on pushing and we probably would have got a goal anyway. I think it was kind of that performance and credit to Ross and the team for keeping kind of their discipline, their game plan against a kind of different kind of opponent that we've been used to seeing.
100%. I've just got to pick you up there. If you rewind this about 25 seconds, you just did compare us to Liverpool and in the same breath, in the same sentence. Are you sure? Do you want to rewind that again or are you happy with that?
Yeah. There's similarities there. Like you've got to see Danny Johnson. He's like Mo Salah, surely. Yeah. Fabinho and Osise. They're basically the same players, aren't they?
Well, we had Yaya Toure with us at the start of the season as well, didn't we? So, you know.
I think you're probably right. I think it's starting to wear off and down onto the players.
It was a first goal for Dan Happy as well, wasn't it? So I think they've been talking a lot in the week about, or maybe not even the week, the weeks prior, that Ross likes Dan Happy. He thinks he's a quality player, obviously, but there's certain things in his game he needs to add. And we saw he gave him the captain's armband a few weeks ago because he wants his leadership. And then he scored at the week, which was kind of something else that they've been trying to work on because he's a big lad and he should really probably be getting more goals. So that was definitely pleasing to see as well.
Absolutely. And I think, as you say, not sure that Bradford really created us many problems during the game. I mean, Harrogate, if we go back to that game, they, you know, first 10, 15 minutes, they were, as you say, we knew that we were going to have the pressure. But, you know, Bradford, I think Vigouroux did hardly maybe one or two saves in the first half, but was never really tested in the second half. And the threat that everyone warned us about of Donaldson and Clark, I think it was completely nullified because of the solid back four.
The opposition view.
So on Saturday, we travelled to Port Vale, and I'm delighted to welcome from the Owl and the Vale podcast, Johnny Hancock. Sorry, Johnny, just before we start, I just want to say, Julian, if you're listening, which I know you will, and you're the regular host on here, I nailed that, and I know you wouldn't have done. So, sorry, John. Johnny. Good evening, and thank you for joining us. Before I start, I just got to say, Port Vale's ground is still one of the top two grounds that I've been to that are the coldest in the UK. I don't care whether we go in May or we go in August and September, it's still freezing. It's up there with Oldham for me.
Yeah, that's quite possible. Oldham is probably the coldest ground I've ever been to, followed by Gillingham, but our ground isn't the warmest at all. I don't know where it is. It feels like it's in a wind tunnel.
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously, a good start for the Vale, and after a kind of decent October, you've sort of gone from one extreme to the other in November. You've had the shock exit of the first round of the FA Cup where you lost to the mighty Kings Lynn. And then you beat the mighty Liverpool 4-2 in the Pizza Trophy. How were things?
Yeah. If we were at this game a month ago, everything was looking rosy. It's difficult at the moment because performances have been very poor all season, even though we've been picking up points. Now then, poor performances are coming back to bite us on the bottom of a little bit, and they're now the defeats the last couple, especially the Scunthorpe game was hard to take. Stevenage Tuesday was very bad, and if a neutral was watching that, you wouldn't have known which one was 23rd and which one was supposed to be going for the playoffs.
Just going back to last season a little bit, I think, am I right in saying if it was done on points per game, you would have got in the playoffs, is that right?
We voted points per game and missed out because of that. But based on form, up until the last 10 games, based on form, we were the third best team in the league. So we would have probably sneaked in the playoffs if we would have carried on that. But obviously, there's all ifs, ands and buts, really. You don't know what would have happened.
And you have John Askey in charge, who we kind of came up against a bit in the National League when he was with Macclesfield, and I believe he's a bit of a club legend. What's the feeling around him?
Over the last couple of weeks, the feeling's been souring a little because he's got a particular way of playing. He plays 4-3-3 with one holding midfielder, two wide men, and he's got that way of playing, and then that's it. So quite recently, Luke Joyce got suspended after being sent off at Tranmere. And our record without Joyce playing is we've not won a game. So that was obviously ominous for the next three games, which we've gone on to lose. And four, if you count the Tranmere game, because when he got sent off, we then went on to lose. So that's not looking great. But without Joyce, he seems to struggle because we haven't really got a natural replacement for him. And then he's crap at changing formation. We went 4-4-2 once this season because we beat Wigan's, well, I say Wigan's kids, but Wigan's first team probably in the Pizza Trophy. We beat them with 4-4-2. So he decided that was the right thing to do in the league, and that was terrible. And then Tuesday he went 4-2-3-1, we think. And he had the person that he's been playing left back playing on the right wing. So, yeah, that was interesting.
That sounds a little bit reminiscent of if you followed Orient on Twitter over the last month. Not to the same, shall we say, vitriol, but the, you know, our manager's been coming in for a lot of stick for changing formations. No one knows the formation to a 4-4-2, 4-3-3, and everything else. So do you think the players have actually not lost confidence so much in the manager, but lost confidence in the way that they're actually playing?
I think it's a difficult one, because I think from the start of the season, we haven't been playing well at all, really. We've played about 2.5 games of football where we've looked and thought, actually, we're not a bad side. And one of them was a 3-1 defeat to Cambridge. We actually played really well that night. It was just that we came up against a striker that was banging form. And sometimes when you come up against one of them, you can't really do anything about it. So I don't think it's confidence with them. I think our issue is we haven't got a goal scorer. So naturally, in a 4-3-3, which Askew likes, you need a bit of a well-rounded centre-forward. And when you look at the ones we've got Popey, that's Pope. You know what you get from him. He's big lad. He's your target man. But he's 35 now. We've then got Mark Cullen, that is a fox in the box when he's not got some form of injury. And he is injured more than he's fit. We've got Theo Robinson, that Vale fans haven't seen the best of Theo Robinson. Colchester fans seem to really like him, but we've had him. This is his second time he's been at Vale, and it's the second time we'd happily drive him elsewhere. And then we've got a young lad called Devante Rodney. He was at Halifax on loan and from Salford, and we signed him on a 3-year deal. And he looks like a massive rough diamond. He looks like the perfect sort of player for that centre forward of a three. He's big, he's strong, he's quick, but he's also missed a header from 4 yards in an open goal this season, and he's a bit rash, and he's just young. So we haven't really got the foil for that. And that's the big issue. If you're playing a lone man up front, you've got to supply him. And it seems when Cullen's on the pitch, who's 5'10", we're playing balls that Pope had eat up. And then when Pope's on the pitch, we're playing it into his feet and try and slide him past the defender, which he's never had pace. And he's not going to at 35, so it's difficult.
It's interesting there. You mentioned Theo Robinson and not seeing the best of him. Like where I'm from, Southend, a lot of my mates are Southend United fans. And obviously they had him, was useless, went to Colchester, kind of turned it on. And everyone was like, who is this guy? Where's he come from? So I'm good to see that he's back to form and doing absolutely nothing again.
Yeah, we... So far, this he played against Cambridge. Trevor Kettle was ref, so he fell over outside the box and Trev gave a penalty. He missed from about 4 yards out, but was busy and putting himself about. And then he got a whack, quite a bad cut on the eye against Oldham, and everything seemed to fall apart from there with him. He just seems like a proper shadow of himself, and it was only a bit of a whack. It's not like he was two-footed in the face or anything.
There's another name that we recognise from our past, Sean Brisley, the centre-half. I think he had about 3 or 4 decent games for us, and then he went to Pot, I think, as far as I remember.
Yeah, Brisley's our third choice centre-half at the minute, behind 35-year-old Leon Legg and Nathan Smith, who's we've come through our academy, and he's probably the best centre-half in the league, in my opinion. And that's not being biased, that he shouldn't be playing at League Two level. And I believe that if it wasn't for the situation that we're in the country with COVID, he was out of contract in the summer, he would have been gone. But yeah, so Brisley's just behind them too. And we tried a unique thing against Stevenage, because you'll know that he's left-footed. We played him on the right side of the defence, as you do with a left-footer. So we're quite unique and like to break boundaries with stuff like that. So I'd expect Legg be walking back in and Brisley be back on the bench, to be fair, Saturday.
And we've got the news, well, the country got the news today that obviously fans are going to be allowed back in. We've come in at tier two. What's the state of play in the Potteries? Are you tier two as well, or are you tier three?
No, we're tier three still. So we won't be, at least for the next 2 weeks, seeing any football live, unfortunately.
Which is probably a godsend to be able to watch how other clubs are actually going to be managing how they all get their fans in. Because I'm assuming, like yourself, like us, you've got more than, if you go into tier two, you've got more than 2,000 fans, season ticket holders. So you maybe your guys up top will be able to get a bit of experience from other clubs that they get on well with.
I think for us, the blessing is that the ground holds 20,000 people. So it shouldn't really be that difficult for us to actually get amongst it and get the people in, because obviously there's going to be no away fans. So you've got the big away end. So the car park there is big enough to socially distance, get people in. There's then the car park next to one of the home ends. There's a car park behind the other home end, and then the final home end behind the other goal across from the away end. There's not a car park there, but there's a big open field behind it. So there's enough space around Vale Park to be able to do it quite safely, I'd feel. So I don't think we'd have much of a problem. I think our issue would be there's 4,000 season ticket holders. So I think we've been hoping that they'd be able to get them through the door. But that looks like even less likely now at the minute. So
we got 3,600, and we've been announced today that we're going to a ballot. So we've got to put our names in the hat and just hope that we can get back into the stadium. But obviously, those that miss out on the first game will get priority for the second one. So, like yourselves, although our ground isn't as big, we've still got the same number of kind of season ticket holders as well. There was a rumour, I don't know whether you've heard this, that the Orient actually asked us for Saturday's game to be moved to 5:30 so they could avoid travel and hotel costs, etc. Did you hear anything like that? And that's the reason why we compromised for 1 o'clock, not 3 o'clock?
No, our media has been quite poor this season, to be fair. So we haven't really heard a lot from the club. We just saw that it'd been moved to 1 o'clock, and then that was it. That's really all we've been told. So no one said why or what. We just assumed that it was so that you guys didn't have to stop over, but it would make sense that 5:30 would have been better for not stopping over at all.
And we can't let you go without getting your score prediction on the game. How do you see it going?
It depends what Port Vale turn up. This is one of them games that could easily end in a 4-4 draw or a 2-0 defeat. So with how the last four have gone, I'd be tempted with an Orient win. And that's very negative of me, but I think it's going to be hard to find form after how we've been playing recently. So if you're listening, I'd be back in Orient.
Interestingly, we've done like the next 10 results for us and how we got on. And all three of us that predicted it have predicted an Orient loss against you guys. So I think we're being very kind to each other, both saying that we're not going to lose.
Well, I think, like, looking at you comfortably beat Harrogate last weekend, didn't you? So that's something that we laboured to a 0-0 draw against Harrogate. We couldn't deal with the fact that they had the two big lads up there. So if you've managed to put three past them, that's already something better than us this season. So
brilliant. Johnny, thank you for joining us. It's been a great pleasure, and hopefully we'll all be back in the grounds and we can have a beer together when you come down to Brisbane, or Briar Group Stadium, as we're calling it now. Come down to Brisbane Stadium and we'll share a beer and thank you for coming on the show this evening.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all, mate. Thank you at all.
Talk from the terraces.
So we're here today that the government have put us into Tier 2, which means 2,000 of us can go back into the Briar Group Stadium. Guys, how do you think that's going to work?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's the day that we've all been waiting for, effectively. And I think we kind of wish that we were back in the mid-90s when 2,000 probably would have covered us all. but it's going to be interesting. I think from reading the information that's come out from the club today, I've got to say it's very informative, and I think it does kind of answer a lot of the questions that you could have. I don't think there's ever going to be a completely fair way to do it when you've got 3,600 people and a capacity of 2,000. But by the way that they're kind of talking about it, the fact that it's a ballot for every game, and if you miss out on one game, you get priority for the next, that's got to be the most, fair way of doing it. Obviously, there are a few questions that have come up, but it's definitely the moment we've all been waiting for. And I think this is getting towards the end of 2020. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel, can't we?
It'll be interesting to kind of see how this benefits the club financially, though, because I think the problem is that they're going to have strict rules. I don't think they're going to be able to open the bar. They're not going to be open the club shop and all of this stuff. And the season, I mean, it's good. It's great, obviously great news for season ticket holders who can go to the game, but it's still worrying in terms of financially. I think the bailout is still going to be needed because there's going to be no extra money coming through the doors because these season ticket holders have already paid.
Absolutely. And obviously you've got to take the stewards, you know, the cost of the stewards. I doubt there'll be policing because it's all home fans, so there won't be an issue from that point of view. My issue is, you know, I haven't actually had a chance to read the way it's going to work, but Dale, can you just give us a just rough idea? You say it's a ballot. How do we enter?
Yeah, so I think they're still quite shady on the details at the moment. I think what they're saying is that it will be an online ballot that will come via the website. I think you can have up to six people from three households as your bubble. And they said that bubble shouldn't change throughout the season. And yeah, I think it's just the fact that you kind of go online. But the interesting one, which I know we kind of touched on before we started recording, was in regards to obviously the tier two being great for us, but we probably do have fans that are in a tier three area. And it's one of those that you might find that they might not be able to come to the games.
Tier three area, I think I might use the excuse. Danny, if Macklin, if you're listening, I'm not actually in a tier three area, so please consider me for ballot. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if you've got people in a tier three area that were actually then saying, you know what, I'm actually living with my mum and dad in a tier two area, just to make sure that they can try and get back to the game. I think that's how desperate we are, all of us, to get back to the prior group. So when we are back, okay, the ballot's going to go. We're allowed 2,000 people back into the stadium. But the first game is going to be Bristol Rovers in the Papa John's Pizza kind of trophy. Do you think there's going to be a 2,000 uptake? Do you think there's going to be, I mean, there's a lot of us, and me included, by the way, I'm not going to say I'm not, that have been boycotting the trophy. Do you think there's going to be a lot of people that are just going to want to get back to the ground on a Tuesday night to sample some kind of atmosphere?
I think definitely. I think they'll easily get 2,000 for that game, even if season ticket holders aren't included. It's going to be a ballot where you're going to have to pay for a ticket. But also the good thing, I think, with that ballot is that it's not going to affect the league game. So they're talking about the ballot where if you go for one game, you can't go. Well, you have less of a chance of going to the next one and there'll be priority. Bristol Rovers in the Papa John's is going to be completely nothing to do with the ballot. If you get a ticket for Bristol Rovers, then it won't affect your chances of going to the league game against Newport. So I think that's a good move by the club, and hopefully we'll see a full house for that game. Well, a 2,000 grand.
Interesting one here. Here's one for you then, Darren. From the beat, we're both big B team boycott people, aren't we? At the start of the season. Yeah. Are you entering that ballot?
No, I'm not. Honestly, I'm not. I'll give someone the chance and the opportunity. Look at me. I'm going to give someone the opportunity. I probably wouldn't have got it anyway. But I'm going to justify it to myself that I'm actually helping out others to be able to go and see the team.
I'm going to be a hypocrite. I'm entering. It's nice to be back.
I've probably got work commitments, to be honest with you, and that's the reason I'm not doing it. But I'm going to use the boycotting as the actual area of or the element that I can't actually get in.
You're listening to the Lowdown Podcast in association with Time 107.5, the Orient fans' show for everyone.
Guys, we've come up with a great idea. We're looking to probably do a live podcast. Now that we know that we're in tier two, we can get six of us in a pub, hopefully around a table. We can, you know, get a couple of other fans joining us. So I think when the actual lockdown is announced and what the pubs can do, we'll do the live podcast. I've spoken to Peter White, and everyone knows Peter from the Orient, and he's kindly offered to host us at the Swan Inn, his actual pub. So what we're going to try and do is entertain four O's fans, obviously with ourselves as well, and a representative of the club with us. As soon as we know any more, obviously watch this space. But it could be entertaining, having a live debate on a podcast.
Sounds great. Yeah. I'm always beer and talking about Orient, I'm always in for it, mate.
Fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the with it coming up to the silly season as well. You know, it's nice to have a couple of drinks and discuss the Orient, isn't it? So
it'd be great to see people in, you know, if we're boycotting the other game and we don't get in time, we don't get in the same ballot with each other, then it'll be great to actually meet up at a pub and, as you say, have a podcast and have a beer at the same time. So come on then, Knowledge, I need your words of wisdom. We need some score predictions for the Port Vale game. And Dow, I know you and I both predicted a loss. Are you still sticking with that?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. he was so coy, wasn't he? I mean, you know, he's playing it down. He's given us an Orient win. I think that it wouldn't be Orient if we went free on the bounce. So, unfortunately, I don't think that it will be a loss. I'd love it not to be.
Yeah, like you said, they've lost, apart from the Papa John's game, they've lost the last four in the League and Cup. So, not been in a great run of form. But it's like one of them where at the start of the season or earlier on in the season, you would have thought, oh, it's a tough game. Now it looks more winnable. The bookies kind of don't see it that way. The bookies have got us 5-2. So if you want to take on Johnny and his prediction of an Orient win, then the bookies have got a good price there. But I think if you look at kind of our form this season, we don't beat anyone that's actually higher on the table than us. I don't think we've done it at all this season. So if you look, come into it, we're 8th, Port Vale are 11th. So by that rule, think I'll go for an Orient win. I'll go 2-1 Orient.
That's brave. I'll be honest with you. I know I said originally it would be a loss. I don't think we'll win the game, but now you mentioned 5-2 is quite decent odds. I'm gonna change slightly, and I'm not going down. I'm not staying with it. I'm actually going to go for the draw. So between us, we've got all bases covered. Just want to finish up tonight and thank you guys for hosting the show with us. And Julian, I hope you're listening in and actually seeing that we can do it without you as well. So welcome back anytime to come and join us now, mate. I just want to do a couple of shout-outs, especially to Ralph. Ralph, you've been on Twitter again. Mate, I hope you're still safe and healthy and on the road to recovery. But a message from all of us at the podcast. If you need to talk to us, please DM the Lowdown Podcast or Dow, myself, Brendan or Julian. You know, we're available on Instagram. We're available on Twitter. And it's not just for Ralph. It's for everyone as well. You know, we're here to give our words of wisdom. We're here to have a laugh with you. We don't even know what to say to you, but at least we're part of the Orient family together. And you just need to know that, you know, you're not alone out there. So all it leaves me to say is a massive shout out to the Knowledge, a massive shout out to Dow. And hopefully we'll see each other at the ground in a week or two. Julian, I hope we've done you proud. And as always, keep streaming, keep safe, and up the O's.
Have your say. Contact us on the Orient Lowdown at gmail.com or find us on social media.